following program is intended for mature audiences only. It contains realism, truth, and opinion. You must be over 18 years of age to listen to this broadcast. Consider yourself notified.
The fanciful, fantastic, fabulous D-Show is frighteningly ferocious tonight as we welcome Skylar Hall, a.k.a. Thuban Windrider, to discuss his furry tendencies as a scaly. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, and everything in between. Tonight, we interview a dragon. How furry and fancy free we are right now.
I never saw a place like this in my life.
And that's why I always say I'm the first superstar, because who the hell is left? I might not have been the first, but there's nobody from back then who's still, you know, sitting in front of their computer so fervently, because I still am.
And I'm just looking up a lot of synonyms for fabulous.
It's like she did. Once you start, you can't stop. You know, it's like fear.
That's why this program is for anyone with a brain in their hands.
That somebody found a potato that looked like Elvis, and then like a week later somebody found, I don't know, a breadstick that looked like Jesus. What's wrong with people?
And most serial killers run around, you know, oh, they thought they were God, they thought they were Jesus, so, you know, they go out and kill 10 or 20 or 50 people.
It's lonely being this fucking smart man.
Of all that does not contain or pertain to you, yourself, your life, distractions, also known as landmines.
Oh, that sounds fun!
I want all of you to get up out of your chairs.
You mean really? Really? Can I really post consults in chat?
To scare the shit out of a Catholic, all they have to do is, you know, create some kind of, you know, revelation. You know.
Always from the right state of mind.
Can I say that on here?
Is this really necessary?
What people don't understand is fear.
Good evening, London. Good afternoon, San Luis Obispo. Hello, Allentown, and good day, Australia. We do apologize for this interruption, but our chats are most important. It's the Fabulous D-Show, Unearthing the Underground, the show for anybody, anyone, anywhere, with a brain in their head. I am the artist D. Vanilla Child is in her corner.
Ding, 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 ding. Hello, hello.
She comes out fighting.
Ha, that's right.
Clawing. Oh, I'm fabulous.
Did you really call out Allentown?
Of course. I have to call out Allentown.
With all its little pink houses.
It has pink houses? Has something changed since I was last there?
No. Isn't that where Billy Joel's from?
I always wondered that. Why he had that song. Because I love the song.
Yeah, I don't think that's what it meant, but...
Well, that was what it was about, absolutely.
It's about Allentown, yeah. But I don't know if, like, the little pink houses were a metaphor or if they were a real thing. I've not been there enough.
Is the pink houses supposed to be in the song?
Well, doesn't he do that song? Or do I have the wrong guy?
Well, yeah, I mean, the song, Allentown, but I've listened to it a million times. I've never heard anything about a pink house.
Little pink houses. I might have the wrong guy.
Or maybe you've got misheard lyrics.
A song called Little Pink Houses.
Oh, well, maybe he does something separately.
Maybe someone in chat knows.
Exactly, because I'm talking about Allentown, the song that's called Allentown. It's not called Little Pink Houses.
I'm pretty sure that's the guy who sings it, though.
It could be.
The same guy.
Hardly anyone knows what he's actually sung other than We Didn't Start the Fire and Allentown.
Oh, well, we'll have to ask. Like I said, I don't know. I'm pretty sure I have the right guy, but...
Probably.
You can say.
Indeed. But how are you?
I should Google it.
We'll Google little pink houses while we talk.
No, I'm good. I have a room full of doggies.
You're a mother.
Yeah.
Again.
I gave birth over the weekend.
To bitches.
To bitches. Yes.
So what is this about? I mean, we already have heard your small chihuahua one, but now you have more than one?
Yeah, I fed her last night after midnight, and I woke up this morning, and there were three more.
Wow.
That was some crazy
shit. It's not that
easy.
That would be bad.
Never feed your chihuahua after midnight, people.
No.
You never know what you will wake up to. No, we're babysitting. There's some friends, okay, family, that are on a vacation right now. They're on a boat. And they might be going fast. I don't know. Do cruise ships go very fast?
Oh, yes. Actually, it's kind of like the plane thing. You know, it's moving quickly, but you just don't know it.
Oh, nice. Never been on one. Would like to, but...
Me too. I would love to go on more cruises.
You'd need to build an ark and hope for a very large flood where you're at.
Yes. Absolutely. Here we've got to take planes, trains, and automobiles to get to somewhere where there are boats.
Right. And that's definitely not going to be an ocean unless you want to drive for a day or two.
Pink Houses is a song written and sung by John Cougar Mellencamp, who's easily,
oh, confused. My bad.
Easily confused with Billy Joel. It was released in 83, reached number 8 on the U.S. Billboard 100 in early 84. So, yes.
Why did I think it was the same guy?
Well, they kind of blend. It's John Cougar Mellencamp, Billy Joel, and Elton John are kind of in that same room together.
They do kind of blend, now that I think about it. But, yeah. So I told you there was a song called Pink Houses.
Exactly. And that is thanks to Taz in Wild Chat. In our wild chat.
It is pretty wild.
It is pretty wild.
It's like a paintball jungle in
there. It is. It's fantastic. Because theartistd.com now has its own chat. And you can come to theartistd.com/chat to get in. There's also links all over the website, even though some people didn't see them yet.
And the Facebook.
And the Facebook and the Twitter. You can easily get in, just register and come in to the paintball fight.
That's
and
right.
And chat. And, you know, share. Things like that.
No censors.
No censors. None.
And we have smileys.
We have smileys and censors, so everyone can be quite happy about that.
Just all for Dan, and he's not even here.
All for Dan. Where is Dan, exactly? Dan insists smileys and no censors, and I give it, and he doesn't come in.
I know. That's so sad.
Indeed.
I'm sure he'll show up, though.
I'm sure. It's just
fashionably late, as always.
As always. Ready to have a kiki. It's the end of Pride Month, so we have to say something gay like that, at least. Let's have a kiki. You want to have a kiki? Lock the doors.
You just made me snort.
I know, it's fantastic.
Not even 5 minutes into it yet. Yes. Yeah, me snorting.
But yet, apparently, you knew what a kiki was long before I did.
No, I had to look it up.
Oh, okay. You faker. How dare you?
But at least I had the brains to do that.
Well, I hadn't even... Well, and that's what I did when I heard about it. But apparently, I was one of the last people, well, other than yourself, to hear about it. Because everyone else already knew and had heard about it.
Always the last one to know about the party.
Exactly.
Trust me, I'm the one that's never invited.
Oh my God.
It's okay.
Doc is saying you lock the doors with a kiki, not a kiki.
Kiki, go to shitbox. Didn't somebody have a cat named Kiki not too long ago?
I don't know, but they should.
No, they did. I think it was Jazz.
And Lucky saying that a kiki is a turkey call. And that's like, ki-ki. And then there's that monkey. There was a monkey that did that too. Key, key. Key.
So you could have a kiwi.
That's what I thought of first when I heard that.
I know what those are.
I love kiwis.
Me too. Especially their accents.
Exactly. We're so on the same page. And I have a pinched nerve in my neck.
In your neck?
Yes. After working out fiercely and having such a good health show last week, Wednesday I wake up with this heart attack-like pinch in my shoulder neck area. It's terrible.
And it's still like that?
It has taken all weekend to dull. It was a very, very bad thing.
Doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't.
It happens to me from time to time, though, so I know how you feel.
And I'm getting messages from Mixler asking how to chat. TheArtistD.com/chat. And there's a link below the live button on the main page. There's a link in the menu under the Fabulous D Show. It's a web designer's nightmare, you know? You put links everywhere and everybody's still like, I can't find it.
Where? It seems to just be a thing.
Exactly.
Trust us, it's there.
Trust us, it's there. It's everywhere. And that's why I put it right next to wherever they should be listening to it, so. And that's Katie. That's Skylar's friend from Hotspot Radio. She's at least listening. And soon she'll be chatting as soon as that link pops out there.
People are starting to make their way.
They are. They are. And
I see that.
So I kind of took a downtime for about 2 days. And it's dulling. The pain is dulling. And I'm okay now. I'm getting back on the wagon next week. And continuing to work it out, because I feel much better. All of my aching problems in my back and everything, it feels so much better when I work out.
Well, that's good. Usually when I get that pain, that's what it takes to ease it up, is to work it out. Not real hard, but, you know, grab the hand weights and...
Exactly.
Do some stretches.
Yes. Katie's smiling at me across the room here.
Did she find her way?
I think she's finding her way, yes.
Okay.
And we've been very busy this week with Four Culture.
Yes, I hear that comes out soon.
It does. This Tuesday, it's out. We are super excited.
Why does everything come out on a Tuesday? Can you explain that to me?
I'm not sure. I'm sure someone in the music industry especially could explain it to us. Maybe Skylar could tell us why.
We'll have to ask, because I've always wondered what it was about Tuesday.
Me too. And that's when, especially when I was growing up and I was waiting, you know, for that album to drop. And it was always a Tuesday. And I was always in school.
I always thought, if I ever have one and I'm going to drop an album, fuck Tuesday. I'm going to drop it on, like, Sunday or some shit.
Or drop it on Friday.
Well, even better. Drop it like it's hot.
Maybe that's the thing. You don't want it on a Monday because nobody will have the energy to buy it. But you'll
or
get
the
it
money.
Yeah, right. You'll get it on a Tuesday, though. And that way you can try to listen to it all week. And then by the weekend, you'll still want to listen to it. If you get it on a Friday, you'll listen to it all weekend and you'll be done by Monday and you'll be tired of it.
I still think it would make more sense to bring it out on a Thursday or Friday.
Indeed.
When most people get paid.
I always thought that as well. I don't know what's going on there.
You would think they would sell more records on a day when people get paid.
Exactly. So
than
this,
on a Tuesday.
This Tuesday, for some reason, we decided, probably for the same reason that everyone else decides, but I don't know that reason. Fourculture.com, check it out. Magazine, digital magazine, for free. But it will blow your pants off.
In a good way.
In a very good way. So when we come back, we have our very special guest, Mr. Furry and Fancy Free himself, Skylar Hall, Thuban Windrider, who I'm told I'm almost pronouncing it correctly, so we'll hear how to pronounce it, talking to Sky about being furry, scaly, because he's a dragon, and gay.
Nice.
And wow. And then there's the God or something in there. So I'm just all sorts of inquisitive and curious. Although they mean the same thing. So we will be back on the Fabulous D Show with the artist Dean Vanilla Child after these messages right here on theartistd.com, simulcast on rainbowmixradio.com and transtastic.com. We'll be right there.
You're listening to the Fabulous D Show on Rainbow Mix Radio.
Transtastic.com, social networking for the transgender community.
Having a bath at 6 o'clock in the morning played havoc with my pussy.
This episode of The Fabulous D Show is brought to you by our friends at...
She's fabulous. She's funny. She's the artist D. Hi, I'm Samantha Renee from Sunrise with Sammy. Heard every weekday morning from 8 a.m. until 12 noon Eastern Time. And you're listening to... The Fabulous D Show on Rainbow Mix Radio, where all the good songs have gone.
Radio. Is that a furry in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? Radio. Join Skylar Hall and Bolo Cute Fox for a rousing round of music that spans the genres. It's HotspotRadio.net. Radio. He'll take listener requests and dish it all live on SRN1. It's HotspotRadio.net, live every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. EST.
Radio.
Join Frankie D over the rainbow at the end of the Rainbow Show. He's playing war-era swing, standards, and pop classics. Frankie D is a doo-wop kinda guy, and we love him to death. It's the end of the Rainbow Show every weekday night on RMX. Visit rainbowmixradio.com to tune in and boogie to your heart's content.
Wait a minute, Michael Delvecchio. Is he tall, with black hair, has a mole on his cheek, sells insurance in New York City?
Yes!
You didn't miss much.
You want danger, huh? I'll show you what danger is, baby.
This is Mac Danger
and Cheddar
from Soylent Radio, where you can catch us every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern for a four-hour mind-blowing audio thrill ride that'll rattle your head and rock your world right here on WildBunchRadio.com.
You have to fight for your right to
party all night.
We play a wide variety of music, comedy, and randomness from some of your favorite artists, as well as independent artists from across the globe you won't hear anywhere else. Plus, you never know who might drop in or what chaos might ensue, and usually does, right here in the studio.
Warning, Soylent Radio may cause mind-altering effects with repeated exposure and is not for the expletive-impaired.
So join us every Sunday for another absinthe-minded journey into new realms of reality that is Soylent Radio. And if you're not tuned in, you might as well be listening to
www.loserpill.com.
And now, back to the Fabulous D Show with the Artist D.
And we're back on the Fabulous D Show. I am the Artist D, and that is Vanilla Child, live right here at theartistd.com. And tonight, I guess we should just get right to it.
Yeah, let's just do it.
Let's get the fur flying right now and get Mr. Skylar Hall on the line.
Had fur flying all day.
I know. And what a perfect day for it, or night for it.
I know.
Is this of... let's see. I can never find anyone on here. There he is.
Maybe because you have too many people?
I do have too many people, but that is the plight of being popular.
I think I have five.
Well, that's easy. Calling Mr. Skylar Hall of
Hotspot
Radio. Hello, Mr. Skylar Hall of Hotspot Radio.
How are you?
Hello.
How is everyone doing tonight?
Well, we're fabulous. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. You're coming in a little bit muffled, and I'm not sure quite why.
Well, you're as clear as ever to us.
Yeah, okay. You are.
Okay, I'll live.
I hope so.
All right. So it's good to be here. I've been eager for this for weeks now.
I've been eager for this for months now.
I've been eager for this for years now.
Oh, you bastard.
So there.
Fine.
Really?
You are Skylar Hall of HotspotRadio.net.
I am indeed.
You are many things, apparently.
I am.
Aren't we all?
The list goes on and on and on.
And quite the enigma, because I had very hard time finding things out about you without, you knowing.
Really?
Yes, my investigative nature did not do well. But you are a furry.
I am.
I am a
specific genre of furry called a scaly.
So tell us about furries in general first. What is a furry?
In the most broad sense of the term, unfortunately, this is one of those terms that encompasses tons upon tons of different things. But the most general thing I can say is that furries are folks that are fans of animals with human-like qualities. If you're thinking cartoons, comic books, video games, think of things like Bugs Bunny, Mickey Mouse, Darkwing Duck. I mean, I'm thinking even kind of on the border would be like, okay, Pete's Dragon, wonderful example. One of the biggest...
Did you say a pizza dragon?
No, not a pizza dragon. Pete's Dragon.
I don't think we're acquainted with Pete's Dragon.
You've never heard of Pete's Dragon?
No,
What is wrong with you?
Is this new?
And you grew up in Pennsylvania?
Yes.
No.
No, okay.
This is very, very old.
I know Darkwing Duck.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Which I found a list I was looking up, and you really don't think of these things until you actually read them, that, furries are Mickey Mouse, Bugs Bunny, and the Turtles.
Are Pokemon in there, or are they like their own genre?
They are in there. They kind of fall into another different subgenre. They call them Pokefurs.
Oh, Pokefurs. Cool.
Pokemon have
their own.
They are. Every conceivable subdivision exists in there somewhere.
It's a bit like being transgender. It's just so many outlets, but it's furry and different furs. Some without fur.
There's going to be a better correlation to transgendered when we start talking about otherkin, but we'll come to that a little bit later.
Right.
Because I want to make sure that we point out the differences between the two, because they're separate but overlapping groups.
Right. So furries are I understand the Teenage Ninja Turtles and all that, but like, how does it affect you? I mean, you're a furry because you feel furry?
A person is a furry, the full term is a furry fan, a member of the furry fandom. And it's just like any other fandom, anime, fandom, sci-fi fandoms. It's not that, you have any sort of special connection other than that you're just a fan of that particular sort of thing. If you're a sci-fi fan, you might go to a Star Trek convention, and maybe you might dress up as Commander Data or something.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that you think you are Commander Data.
Okay. You may dress up as an animal, but you don't feel like you are that animal.
Right. Yeah, and you don't necessarily fetishize Klingons or anything like that.
Right. Although I'm sure that people do.
But, you might go to one of those conventions and purchase art of, the Enterprise. Mm-hmm. You might go and get DVDs of some of the Star Wars Christmas special, whatever.
Right.
People express it in all sorts of different ways, through music, through art, through dressing up, through just even just talking about the stuff that they enjoy so much. But it's really a fandom not much different than any other fandom.
They're very interesting. I had no idea that that was what it is.
It's just kind of specialized, that's all.
Yes,
is it a sexual kind of thing?
I was waiting for that.
Well, because that is, to be honest, that is what people immediately think when the people outside of the Furdom. Yeah. And the whole community, if they don't know what it is, you immediately think of that particular fox, and you know,
right?
Everybody knows that fox, right?
Yeah. The fandom unfortunately has developed a rather serious distrust of the media, mm-hmm. Which I find interesting because, you know, as a host of a radio show, I'm part of the media, right. But if you look at TV shows like CSI, MTV's True Life, or Real Life, whatever the hell it was called, I don't remember anymore. I think there was a NCIS episode, an issue of Vanity Fair magazine. They always are going to go towards what's going to produce the best story or the best ratings. And the way you accomplish that is you go by the most interesting part of the fringe, the most controversial part of the fringe. So, you know, I would be lying to you if I said there wasn't some segment of the furry fandom that do fetishize these animals, or they, mm-hmm. you know, they do all these things that you've heard about
right.
somewhere in the media. But that is on the fringe. Not everybody does that. It's certainly not required. And in fact, there's a lot of furs that kind of look down on the folks that do that because they're giving the rest of the fandom a bad name because they're the ones to get all the press.
But we can't have that. I mean, you can't just not like a certain part of your community, right? I mean, do you have something against those types of furs?
I don't. I just wish that the media was a little more balanced in terms of its reporting of the fandom.
Well, because really, I wouldn't have known until I looked into it, until I got to know you, I would not have really known there was other facets of it. I mean, other than I knew it was enjoyable to dress up like this, and I thought the sexual part of it as well. But being a fan of it, you know, being a fan of this animal, that's very interesting to think of.
Right, and you know, it's not, again, not different from any of these other fandoms. You know, people go to a Star Trek convention, and like I said, they may dress up as Worf, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean they're going to find, you know, Kalar and pull her in a corner and fuck her.
Right.
You know what I mean? And yes, I'm that much of a Star Trek nerd too.
Well, and I am as much that I actually know what you're talking about. And that's actually kind of funny.
You know, so I would never ever deny anyone something that they enjoy, whether it's sexual or not. Basically, I work under the mindset, as long as you're not hurting anybody, do whatever the hell you want.
Right. Is it sexual to you?
It is not to me. There are every now and again I'll find a piece of art that's of a sexual nature that I find kind of nice and interesting, but I don't go looking for that sort of thing. I don't have any art of myself in any sort of sexual positions,
mm-hmm.
and I'm okay with that. I don't go searching out for that because that's not what it's about for me. And I'll be honest with you, as far as furry is concerned, I'm kind of on the edge of that myself. I'm not as big of a furry fan as a lot of the people in the fandom are.
Hmm.
I've kind of come onto it as a nice way to express a different side of me, and that's kind of where Otherkin comes in. But we can get to that right. If you want to talk about something else first.
Right. What do you think about the sexual nature of it? Why do you think that that's such a turn on to people?
I think part of it might have to do with, you know, humanity has become so repressed in terms of what's acceptable and what's normal and, you know, what they can do without any sort of guilt. And if you look at the animal world, there is no such thing as guilt or societal norms or anything like that that are going to pigeonhole people into having to act or be a certain way. Whereas, if you go to fetishizing furry, and again, I don't do this, but I can kind of understand where it comes from, is that when you can take on the persona of an animal, you can take on whatever the stereotypical personality traits of that would be. If you're looking at, you know, acting as a wolf, if you're acting as an alpha wolf, you're going to be the dominant person. You're going to get
right.
more or less whatever you want from whomever you want. If you're going to be a rabbit, you're prey. You're going to be at the mercy of whoever wants whatever they want from you. And it's almost an escape, I think.
And interestingly, do you find, or do you think, because when I'm looking over all the, when I was looking over the sexual aspects, I was thinking, does this connect kind of with bestiality?
I was just going to ask that. Thank you, D.
Okay.
Covering fairly, I mean, you know, saying that the laws are the laws in whatever state or country you live in as to pertaining to bestiality, but on a just natural, normal level, isn't there some sort of connection there?
No. Definitely not. I do understand where that thought process comes from in terms of why people make that connection, but no. I don't think I've met a single fur that has expressed any interest in pulling, you know, the horse from the stable or their neighbor's Doberman and you know, having their way with them or letting them have their way with them. It's not the same thing.
Right.
It actually kind of disgusts me because you can't get consent from an animal.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't buy into that.
And kind of a roundabout way of this, I think that's what the media wants to prey on, though. I mean, I think that's what they like to hint about on a lot.
I think that's kind of more what my question was, is that, like, you know, are these people that might secretly fantasize about bestiality but know the law and, you know, respect it, so this is a way of acting out those fantasies?
But the people who want to do that, though, are not going to be satisfied with the you know, the reproduction of something that they... A person dressed in a Doberman suit is not the same as a Doberman pincher. You know what I'm saying? Not that I know this from experience, don't get me wrong.
I was just going to say, no, not really, but... yeah, I know what you're saying.
No, it's not the same thing. And I don't think that if someone had those urges, that would be a suitable replacement. Because the whole idea is, I think part of the whole idea with bestiality is that you're doing, and again, I'm speaking from the outside on this one, just kind of want to make sure everyone understands this.
We'll have that guy on the show another time. Don't worry.
Okay, by all means. But anyway, I think part of that, you know, what comes with that is that you're doing something that is inherently wrong. And that, you know, is definitely something that you have power over a different sort of creature that doesn't have any recourse against you.
Right.
And that's not the case with people dressed up in suits.
Right. And Katie, listening via Mixler, is saying about cosplay, C-O-S-play.
Okay.
Is that how you say that, cosplay?
Yes.
Because I've never said that word either. And she's kind of saying that that's what she calls it, in the same light.
Parts of it. There's also a big misconception, I think this is where Katie's coming from, is that everyone who is a member of the furry fandom dresses up as whatever their animal is. That's not the case. There's a large number of folks that take on, you know, like I have a set of wings and I have a tail that I wear when I go to a convention like this or if I go to a furry gathering. I don't wear them around the house. I don't wear them to the grocery store. It's not what I do. But the convention that I went to had 5,179 attendees. Of those, only about one-fifth of those had a full fursuit.
Hmm.
So you're talking 80%. You're talking about 4,000 out of the 5,000 did not have a full suit. And I would say most of those have no desire to get a full suit.
Hmm. Riddle me this, just a little bit of a rabbit hole here. Okay. I happen to know this fellow, and he's kind of like teenager, maybe 18, 19, and many times that I've seen him, he's wearing a tail.
Okay.
During his daily life. And he swears that it is just because he's into anime, I quote. Do you think that he's just into anime, or could he kind of be a furry in hiding, even though he's walking around with a full freaking tail? But
It sounds like a strange statement, but it almost has to depend on what anime he's watching.
Right.
Because, you know, if he's, for example, a fan of, and I'm not a big anime fan, so I'm kind of out of my league here.
Right.
But if he's like a fan of, like, Inuyasha, which is a show where the main character is a fox demon, then if he's wearing a fox tail, then he could just be emulating Inuyasha, might have no interest in anything beyond that. So it's kind of hard to say. What people will sometimes say to me is, well, I like so-and-so and so-and-so. Am I a furry? And that's the same thing to me as someone saying, do you think I'm gay?
Right. That's what came to my mind, yeah.
It's like, I can't tell you that. You have to decide that for yourself. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not one of those things that you can label somebody else.
Absolutely.
It has to be a self-identification
before
anything.
You have to
come
to terms with it and become. So you are a offshoot of furry, which is scaly. So tell us what scaly means.
Very, very simple. It's just members of the furry fandom whose chosen preference of animals in terms of what they enjoy the most are reptilian, lizards. I think amphibians are included in that, fish. And then you're talking things like dragons and basically anything that has scales as their outside rather than fur.
Right. So you are a dragon.
I am.
Nice.
That is your chosen fur.
It is.
Or scales.
Yes. There you go.
So
there are other groups as well. I mean, you have the featheries that are, you know, avians, they're birds and whatnot. You have tors, which are, you know, bulls and that sort of thing. But, I think scaly is probably one of the biggest subgroups.
Because I was asking about the fish a couple of weeks ago, if they had their own category. It does not seem that they have their own category.
I don't believe so.
Well, they have scales, but...
They have scales, but I don't think they traditionally get lumped in with the scalies for some reason.
Hmm.
I don't see why they couldn't, to be honest with you. But, again, that's, you know...
Right.
If I knew any to ask them, I would. But I don't think I've met more than maybe two in my whole life.
And I pulled up
Sounds
about
fishy.
The I had pulled up about that particular category of furries and found that as far as fish, like actual fish, there seem to be very unpopular amongst the furries. There's more sharks and dolphins, but not really fish.
That's true.
I don't know why. Well, who wouldn't want to dress up like a tuna?
Walking could be hard.
It could. Well, it didn't stop anybody before, but okay.
True. I actually do have they do a survey every year. There's a I don't remember what the university is, but some university out of Canada actually has a study they do every year on the furry fandom. And they do all sorts of demographics and everything else. And I do have a list of species popularity.
Oh,
cool.
Exciting. And what is the most popular?
Oh, the most popular actually are hybrids, folks that are combinations of like a fox wolf or, you know, a dragon cat, for fuck's sake. I don't know.
If I was a furry, what would I be? If you were to anoint me furry, bop me with your wand.
This is, again, one of those you kind of have to decide for yourself, but since you asked the question, I guess
and
I
since
have to
I will not be for, deciding for myself, just...
I guess I have to
What
answer.
Am I most like?
Having not met you in real life, but what I know of you over the internet, I would probably put you in the feline realm somewhere.
I had a feeling we were headed in that direction.
You strike the feline.
I'm okay
He
with
just
that.
Called you a pussy, D. What are you going to do about it? You're going to just take that?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Indeed.
No. D, I see D as something more avian.
Oh, my.
Something that can fly.
Well, I could be an eagle.
Or a pterodactyl.
Just don't call me a pigeon. That's really
is there a dinosaur?
There are dinosaurs.
There is? Neat. I think that's what I would be.
If Skye's a dragon, surely they have dinosaurs.
Right. There are actually not very many dinosaurs, though. some of the lowest populated species are dinosaurs, deer, squirrels, ferrets, and insects.
I was reading up on a ferret couple in a cartoon.
Really?
Bob and somebody ferret, yeah. like your average modern day white picket fence family, but ferrets. It was interesting.
You will find a lot of really amusing online webcomics.
I did.
But like, like Hobbs?
There you go. But I'm talking ones that are actually designed by and for the furry fandom. Probably one of my favorites, and it is, for the most part, completely safe for work, is DMFA, Dan and Mab's Furry Adventure. Mm-hmm. It's really awesome. If you have a couple hours to fritter away, because there's a ton of strips, go and check them out, because they're actually a lot of fun.
And now everyone's asking in chat, and I was going to get to this question, but now is the best time. And we'll talk about something similar when we're talking about your sexuality, but with furriness, if I may call it that. Okay. When did you realize that you were a furry? You were born that way, as you just said. So, much like being gay, when did furry strike you?
Well, let me actually correct. I don't believe I was born furry. I think furry is something you come to, just like you're not born a sci-fi fan. You know, it's something that comes to you through your probably through your adolescence, through how you're raised, through the things that you develop a fandom of. But I came to the furry fandom in late 06, early 07, while I was still dating my now ex. And it's interesting you bring it up, because when he first got into the fandom, he got into it before I did. And he said to me, and he said my name, and I said, I think I want to go check out this furry thing. And so I'd actually never heard of it before, so I did a little research, and I came across a lot of the same things that you did. Hmm. And I said, I don't think I'm comfortable with this. And so I just kept looking into it. I went along with it long enough to go to a couple of, fur meets and whatever. And it turned out to be not at all what I had read about. Hmm. And it was so much more normal and so much nicer and so much more fun that I decided, I think I can do this too. And then the first thing I think is, well, okay, what animal do I want to be?
Right.
And my whole life I'd had this fascination with dragons. From little all the way up to now. And I said, well, okay, that's a natural association. Let's go with that and let's see where it takes me. And so you come up with, the name of your character, and you come up with, if you want to come up with a little bit of a backstory and how they look and blah, blah, blah. And that's just kind of where that has gone. But what I was born was Otherkin. And that's something that is, on some level, in my opinion, who you are. So not so much as what you like. It is who you are.
And we'll get to that in just a second, but I wanted to ask about your name.
Absolutely.
And tell us the name.
Okay, it's Thuban.
Thuban.
Like the word through without the R, okay. And then half of a bonbon. So Thuban.
Thuban.
I like it.
And last name is Windrider.
Right. So that is your scaly name.
I'm sorry.
That is your scaly name.
It is.
Okay.
It is my draconic name. Thuban actually is the name of a star in the sky. It's the primary star in the constellation of Draco the Dragon.
Cool.
And about 20-something thousand years ago, it was actually the North Star.
Oh, okay.
Which is really pretty cool. During the time of the Egyptians, it was actually the North Star.
But then the poles shifted or something?
Basically the precession of the poles. It'll eventually be that again, but I think it won't be about for another 100-something thousand years. So it'll be long after we're gone.
I keep hearing the poles are going to shift this year.
We're not talking about the magnetic poles. We're talking the orbital.
And you don't want to get in that conversation with Skylar, because he's also like this big scientist person too.
I don't know about science. I know about the sun a little bit.
And astrology. Aren't you on astrology or something?
Actually, my degree is in astrophysics.
Right, right.
Wow.
And so I'm more prone towards astronomy rather than astrology. Mm-hmm. But I do have some passing knowledge of astrology. I'm not quite as well-versed as some of my friends in terms of that.
I'm officially intimidated. I used to want to be an astronomer when I was a kid growing up. An astronaut.
Nice. Now, yeah. VC, you're from Lancaster, correct?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever been, I think it's east of you, are you familiar with Hawk Mountain?
No, never heard of it.
It's out towards, like, the Reading area, so you're not very far away. But out near there is another place called Pulpit Rock Astronomical Park, and I did some wonderful observing from there. You should check it out sometime.
Cool.
That sounds
lovely. Send me a link or something. Yes, to
I can do that.
The address, that'd be cool. We're always looking for stuff to do.
And in chat, they're telling me that they're imagining me as a furry phoenix dominatrix.
Yes, that's actually the bird I was looking for, but Kat,
I can deal with that.
Taz brought it.
And Doc says that I'm a nightingale.
No,
I could actually go with. I think I could actually agree with Phoenix. I think I could see
Phoenix. Yes.
And Kurt says that VC is a velociraptor.
Oh yes, I'll take that. Thank you.
I think that's perfect.
Go, Kurt.
That works for me. So, yay, fellow scaly.
Well, I've always been attracted to dragons too, and I've
really?
Always felt like
hubba hubba.
Well, no, I mean, it's not, I don't know about like that, but you know what I mean? I've always, ever since I was little, collected things that were fantasy of that type, like, you know, magic and
right.
dragons and, you know.
The mythical things, yes.
Yes, like, I believe in all of it to this day. Unicorns, fairies, trolls.
I love hearing you say that. That makes my heart warm. Okay.
I totally believe in leprechauns and all that good shit. I mean, it has to come from somewhere, right?
Can I officially say I love you, VC?
Sure.
It's official.
It's official. You love
now.
My son, too, from what I hear.
Well, that's a whole other story.
That's a whole other interview.
That's a whole other love.
But I guess we should say for the normal people tuning in, not like anyone is normal tuning in, but the whole, you know, degree thing, and it just makes one think these are just normal, average people. Who goes to school?
We are.
The
fandom is full of normal folks.
Exactly.
There's every range of education in the fandom, from you know high school dropouts to postdoctorate folks. Right. The guy in charge of Anthrocon, the convention I went to, is a PhD in chemistry.
Wow.
I mean, he worked for the I think it was the CDC or the FDA. I don't recall which.
That's
so
awesome.
So, you know, people in this fandom span the entire, you know, realm of humanity.
Which makes it why it's just a fandom. It's just, for some
exactly.
reason, you're a fan of these animals, and that is what it is. Now,
exactly.
Otherkin sounds like another step.
That is, I wouldn't say it's another step so much as a different step.
Tell us about that step.
Okay. Otherkin is like I said, there's some overlap with furry, but it's not. You need not be furry to be otherkin. You need not be otherkin to be furry. And think of it this way: I'm sure you have some, or our listeners have some passing familiarity with concepts like spirit guides and totem animals and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. In the cases of spirit guides, totem animals, familiars, that sort of thing. Some animal is an outside but important spiritual aspect of who you are. That totem, that spirit, that familiar is very relevant to your spiritual self, but it is an outside force. It's not part of you. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Whereas in the case of otherkin, that connection is somehow internal. Whatever that other animal is somehow actually a part of you. Whether it's, you have your human body and your, if you believe in, you have to almost believe in the concept of a soul to understand this.
Okay.
But if you're, let's say your human body has the human soul, but there's also a feline soul within your body, sharing the same body, that person could identify as other kin. If a person believes that in a previous life they may have been, you know, a coyote, then that person could be considered an other kin. If the person is, you know, has the belief that they in a previous life were a dragon and now in this life their soul is not a human soul but a dragon soul, that person could be considered an other kin. I'll give you three guesses.
I don't think I need them. Yes,
you're a dragon.
You know, and that's basically my belief. And
so you
I don't
think
know.
You are mixed with a dragon soul?
No, I don't think I'm mixed. I think I am a dragon soul.
Well, you are a dragon soul, and the dragon soul has been stuffed into Skylar Hall.
Exactly.
Okay.
Just stuff it in there.
It's a big dragon. Do you know what kind of dragon you were? I mean, were you big? Were you fire breathing?
Do you have dragon breath in the morning?
You have to ask Bolo that one.
Do you at random times find that you unexplainably singe things? Yeah. Sorry.
Well, I got to say the microphone is getting a little warm. I'm not going to melt it. I heard that concern last week.
I was just going to say, I hope it's not melting. Oh.
If I want to draw an analogy, and it's one that I know you're going to understand. Okay. Think of it this way. In much the same way that I don't know if – I think you use the term for yourself, but I know that a lot of your listeners use the term transgender.
Right.
They feel that their body does not accurately represent the gender that they feel that they truly are, correct?
Correct.
Is that an accurate definition?
That is an accurate definition, yes.
Okay. In the same way, I consider myself trans-speciesed.
Transhuman.
Trans-speciesed.
Sort of.
I like it.
Trans-speciesed. So my body does not accurately represent – the species that I feel that I am.
So, that makes sense.
So just like, you know, transgendered folks sometimes have, I think the term is body dysmorphia.
Right.
Is that something you've heard of?
Yes. They could, you know, have that, yes.
You know, where there is this feeling that what you see doesn't match up with what you feel should be there. Or you're missing something that should be there.
Right.
You know, I have very much the same thing sometimes. There are times where it's not a constant thing, but every now and again I'll be doing something and I won't quite understand why I don't have wings counterbalancing me in the back.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
I wonder what a transgendered person would have to say about that.
Hmm.
Well, talking to one, you tell me.
I know, I was just going to say, well, D.
But I'm not your average run-of-the-mill at all, so I couldn't say what I mean, I think that's fine and fabulous, but I think there are many different facets of transgenderism anyway. But I also know that a lot of transgender people, and that's why I asked the question, is that they feel if you're an offshoot of it, you know, such as myself, that I'm not one way or the other and I'm more into both and androgyny and all that, that sometimes upsets them greatly, depending on who I'm talking to.
Gender queer doesn't sit too well with the transgender community.
Gender queer is very not setting well with them at all.
I see.
We're just getting them used to that, I believe.
So probably on the same vein then. Right. I don't want to speak for them, obviously, but my guess would be that the folks who are having a problem with gender queer would have an even bigger problem with me reappropriating their terms for something that they feel might even be insane.
Probably. But because it's like me, you know, it's like I'm ripping off the transgender community just because I didn't decide to take hormones and go all the way. And
right.
And I can imagine that they think, oh, Jesus, trans species, that's all we need. So that would be interesting to get that reaction from that type of focus group.
Aren't we all a little bit of trans
but
something?
We are,
though?
Exactly.
I think so. I think, you know, no one is... I don't think anyone really necessarily feels that they have accomplished, even physically, what they feel they should. You know, whether it's, you know, their body type is not right, their height, their eye color, their hair color, their species, for goodness sake. You know, I don't think anyone is necessarily completely at peace with what they look like and who they are.
Right.
That sounds about
right. Probably, because it's not the vessel that we are used to. we're not free. Right. We're not free is what it comes down to. I mean, we're trapped inside of a body that limits us to only be able to do certain things. Whereas if you were really in a dragon's body, you know, you really could breathe fire.
And Lucky over at Rainbow Mix is saying it's sort of like the Indian belief of spirit guides from animals and all that. So that sounds
It's related, but again, the spirit guides are external. And an other kin, on the other hand, is something internal. It's part of you rather than, you know, related to, you know what I mean?
Right. So it's kind of, in basic, just to cover it, it's like a reincarnation kind of deal for you.
In my case, not in everyone's case, but in my case, yes.
And that's very interesting.
So in one of your past lives, you feel you were a dragon.
Correct.
Just like in my past lives, I feel like I was a Puerto Rican.
Just like that, VC, yes.
Just like
that. but,
and I believe it's carried over to this life. So I understand where you're coming from.
But, you know, the problem with saying that you're reincarnated at anything, that you're if you say that you're otherkin, immediately people start to look at you differently. I'm sure this is the case with transgendered as well. Mm. I mean, you have folks that say, no, you're just making it all up. You don't really... You know, that's not really the case. You know, you're just kind of out there a little bit. So if I were to say that I feel in the past life I was a wolf, and now this life, you know, I feel like I should be a wolf, but I'm not, that's a little crazy, depending on who you ask. But then when you say, well, no, not a wolf, a dragon, an animal that scientists can't even prove ever existed on the planet, now you really are ready to get committed to the state style. You know,
which is difficult because I could believe VC when she was reincarnated from a Hispanic because we know Hispanics exist. But dragons, tell us about these dragons. I mean, where are you going?
Who said they don't exist, though?
Well, I mean, as far as the scientists not finding them as of yet.
Fuck that. Exactly. Well, they don't want to be found.
But, you know, the point is that when you have a reincarnation of something that science can prove has existed, it's a little bit more accepted.
True.
I mean, I've heard any number of people say that they think they were a cat in their past life because they have such this wonderful rapport with their pet.
Most of our mothers, yes.
You know, whereas, you know, if you say to someone, I think I used to be a griffin.
Right.
They're going to have you in a white huggy jacket really soon.
Exactly. So tell me, but specifically, what era... I mean, where are the dragons? Tell me about dragons.
Where are they now?
Where are they now, or where were they? Are they still now? Are they still here?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Right. Well, apparently Visay believes that they're hiding and stuff, which I understand.
They do exist.
They exist.
I know somebody who has dragons. I'm telling you, they exist.
Wait, what?
Because Skylar, now he wants to meet them. I knew that would
happen. Yes, I do.
I know somebody who has dragons. Okay, you can only see them. I haven't seen them yet. Apparently, I don't believe enough. But there have been people who have seen them, who can see them. And, you know, it's about perception and if you want to see it or not. I want to see them. I just haven't yet.
So it sounds like the dragons that you're speaking of are kind of fey creatures. They're only seen by those who they want to be seen by.
It sounds like fairies and stuff.
Dragon spirits, I guess you could call them.
Right. But, you know, to answer your question, unfortunately, you're going to get the answer, I don't know, a lot from me.
Oh, okay.
Because I have this scientific background, I don't want to talk from a point of view of I know something as fact when I don't.
Which is fascinating. You have a scientific background, and here you are. It's very, you don't find scientists like this.
That's true. That's very true.
You know, but... personally, I think that, at least myself, I can't speak for any other dragons or anything else like that, but the life that I recall, and this has come to me only in fleeting memories in a dream or, you know, moments of epiphany, I think I existed at some point in ancient Egypt, which may be why I chose the name Thuban like I did this time around, because it was such an important star to them. And I think my life ended somewhere in either Scandinavia or Russia.
Mm. And Doc is asking me to ask about dreams. So are these things that have happened in dreams?
To some degree. Some of it is. Some of it is just, you know, I'm thinking about trying to tell somebody about myself. Mm-hmm. And something that maybe imagination, maybe memory, comes to me out of nowhere. And I'll be honest with you, I don't engage my imagination all that much. It's a skill that, unfortunately, I didn't cultivate when I was a child. And so a lot of it comes from outside inspiration. But if something comes to me completely unprovoked,
right,
I give it a little more attention. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So I think, you know, the fact that I can say with at least some level of conviction that I'm pretty sure I was existed, you know, 5 or 6 thousand years ago in Egypt, and, you know, died a few hundred or maybe a thousand years later in Siberia or Norway or something, in some snowy climate, then that means something to me, because I wouldn't say that with any kind of conviction if I didn't on some deep level feel it was true.
Well, and I can't totally, I'm not, you know, maybe people are thinking that I don't believe in all that, or that I don't agree, but, and I don't agree with straight up reincarnation or any of these other things, but we're a mixture of molecules from ever and ever and ever, so of course those molecules have thoughts and feelings and lives, and I can totally see that one could be mixed with something from long ago, whether that be a dragon or Hispanic, either way. So,
well, is there any possibility that dragons could have been mistaken for dinosaurs, and there really is proof?
There has been a lot of speculation about that. I'm trying to recall, there was a documentary, well, I don't know if you call it a documentary necessarily. There was a really nice made-for-TV thing called Dragon World. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was either Discovery Channel or History Channel put it together. And it basically goes from the perspective of, okay, let's assume the dragons did exist. What proof can we find for that now?
Right.
And if they did exist, what would their biology be like? How did they fly? How did they, you know, have this whatever flame breath, ice breath, poison breath, whatever that they supposedly do according to myth? And, you know, just to give credence to the fact that they must have existed at some point or another, take a look at the mythology from all the cultures of the world, from Asian culture to Arabic culture to European culture to African, Australian Aboriginal, Native American, you know, Incan, Mayan. There's in every one of them, there is something with the resemblance of some sort of dragon.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those that somehow has found its way into every culture, and cultures that had no way of really interacting with one another in a lot of cases. So the fact that so many different unrelated cultures have record of dragon in their myth tells me that it's too big of a coincidence to not be true in some way.
That makes sense.
You know what I mean?
Makes perfect sense. I think the same thing. You know, even if there's not actual proof, like you said, there's been paintings, drawings, other things from way back when.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, would be proof. I mean, they find so many other things out of those things that they call proof, like aliens. I mean, they,
right.
You know, do you believe in those? Obviously.
Ah, okay. Aliens are actually an interesting statement for me, because now you're coming back to my scientific side and my astronomy side. I look at the sheer number of planets in the, you know, in the galaxy, let alone the universe. And I say, on one hand, it would be completely arrogant of us to say that we are the only intelligent life in the entire universe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, what the hell is so special about us that they want to come here?
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. Yes, I certainly don't think aliens are, you know, around.
Well, I don't think it's us that they want or that they would come here for. I think it's where our planet, wouldn't you think?
But we're the only planet that meets their criteria? Out of the billions upon billions upon billions of planets?
We might be the only planet that has... Well, I don't know. I mean, there's so many theories. Maybe they created us.
It's possible. I mean, nothing is out of the realm of possibility, in my opinion.
I mean, we do some pretty fucked up experiments on people. So who's to say that we're not just some big alien experiment? You know.
It's not outside of the realm of possibility. One thing I've learned a long time ago, if I want people to be able to accept the fact that I feel like I'm a reincarnated dragon, I'm not willing to take anything off the table completely.
This is true.
Because I don't think you could. Completely hypocritical of me. Yes. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why I can't interject too much throughout, because while I may disagree with a lot of that, especially aliens and that sort of thing, but...
Hey, aliens.
Aliens.
Hey. But I can't particularly say, you know, anything against it, because we are who we are, and, I mean, you think you're a dragon, and I think I'm an androgynous alien, and so on and so forth, so... Can't completely rule it out. I'm sure, I mean, knowing the many incarnations of species there was, surely a dragon could have flown around and breathed something.
Right.
Why not?
You know.
Well, and then there's that whole Chinese myth thing or whatever, that it's a koi. Isn't it the koi fish that turns into a dragon?
I believe so, yes. You know. So. But, you know, and the other thing is you know, I was talking in Fabulous D chat earlier about the fact that I've updated the website, my website that is, with pictures and art of both myself and of Bolo. And you'll notice D was saying that he was having a hard time finding yes. images and whatnot of Thuban.
Indeed.
And I said, well, there's a reason for that. Most furries are simply furries. They're not also otherkin. Okay. And as such, their character is completely of their own creation. They can make it look like whatever they want. They can give it whatever color hair and whatever manner of dress and eye color and fur color and everything else. And it's entirely all theirs. Whereas when it comes to me, my furry nature is just my way of expressing otherkin in a way that's understandable to people.
Right.
And... So when I get art done, I'm not getting art done of my character. I'm getting art done of me, if that makes sense.
Well, and, right, it's you, yes.
You know, and so in doing so, I want to try to make it not what I want it to look like, but I want to make it accurate. Mm-hmm. And having enough recollection of past lives to make a piece of art accurate is really tough. Because I don't know precisely what I looked like. I can give it my best guess, but, you know, I don't want to go back to the same artist and say, you know what, I like that, but I want to make those wings just a little bit shorter, and I want that, you know, the fur on top of my hair, top of my head to be, you know, a lighter shade of gray, and I would drive artists nuts. So I tend to just get a piece done every now and again by someone who understands what I'm going through.
So we can now see more of that art on your website?
Yes. Is this where I pimp?
Pimp away.
Okay. at hotspotradio.net, you can click over. That's the site for the radio show that I do every Wednesday. We'll talk about it a little bit later.
We will,
I think.
Yes, absolutely.
But if you look on the left sidebar, even those who have been there recently, you'll see a new link there that says furry. And that will take you to our kind of furry subsite. And the second link in the body of that page is art of Bolo Cute Fox and Thuban Windrider. You can see all sorts of pictures that we had commissioned or that we did ourselves of our characters. One of my favorite, if you go into the art of Thuban part of that, is the second to last image in that gallery. It's just simply a pencil line art drawn on white paper. It's wonderful. And the artist's name was Mary-san. I love her to death because she herself is also otherkin. She's an otherkin griffin. So when I came to her and I said, okay, I want art of me done, but here's the problem. She totally understood what I was saying. And she somehow managed to capture what I think is one of the most accurate pictures of Thuban that I've had done yet.
And why was it that it was so perfect?
I don't know. It's just one of those. I picked it up when I got the phone call from her that it was ready. I came back to the dealer's den at the convention, mm-hmm. and she said it's done. And I came back and I picked it up and I paid for it. And the moment I grabbed it in my hands and I looked at it, my jaw dropped. I was stunned silent. It was just perfect.
Wow.
You know?
You're like, oh my God, it's me.
Exactly.
And what's that link again? So we can put it in the chat?
Hotspotradio.net.
Yes, everyone should have that bookmarked for all their hotspotradio.net needs.
Right.
And fur needs, apparently, now.
And fur needs.
You need to put, like, helpful things there now for other furries to find their way.
I can do that.
You should. I think it's a good idea, because speaking of this on a transgender level, I'm sure there are people out there who feel furry and don't know what to do about it.
You're probably right.
And as silly as that sounds, because I want to laugh, but actually it's very serious. I bet there are people that are just as confused. And they want to be. Or they feel like a dragon and they don't know they can be a dragon.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm sure you're right. But again, if you go to the left sidebar, go down to Furry, and then click on... once you go to Furry, click on Art of Bolo, Cute Fox, and Tube on Windrider. It's the middle gallery. Mm-hmm. And then second to last page in that gallery is this particular image that I'm talking about. It's just perfect. I can't put my finger on why precisely. Other than that, it's perfect.
We will check that out immediately. And Lucky at Rainbow Mix wants to know, she's questioning, weren't most dragons female?
I don't know. That's an awfully good question. I know in the reptile world at large, there's a lot of, I don't know what the right word is these days. I know the right word used to be hermaphrodite. I think that's fallen out of favor. Is it intersexed now?
Could be. Could go either way.
But there's a bottom line. There's a lot of asexual reproduction in the reptile world, and so one creature is simultaneously male and female because they are able to produce and bear their own young, but they impregnate themselves.
So how about that, Sky? You may have actually been a female dragon.
It's possible.
Making you some portion of a transgender dragon.
Just to make me a little more strange.
Anything. Absolutely. I'm trying.
So I'm gender and species queer.
Exactly. Well, it's like one of those things, you know, Jesus, just when I thought I was weird enough, now I'm species queer. Trans species. Good God.
Oh, you'll be all right.
But speaking of sexuality, you are also gay. Of all the other things that are wrong with you, to quote some of our mothers, but no, not mine or yours, I'm sure. Do you find a lot of people in the furry kingdom are gay as themselves?
There's a really large perception, and like exceedingly large perception, that the furry fandom is predominantly male and predominantly gay. It is predominantly male. I will give them that much. There is something like 80% of furries that responded to the survey are male. I'm talking about their human gender, not their species.
Right.
You know, okay. Other species gender. But that being said, as far as gay or straight or bi is concerned, it's not hugely different from the population at large. They are a little more prone to being gay, but not significantly so. While you do find a whole lot of you know, guys in the fandom, doesn't mean that every one of them is boffing the other.
Right.
That said, though, because the fandom is a very accepting fandom, more so by a lot of people's, you know, criteria, more so than the anime fandom, more so than the sci-fi fandom. Mm-hmm. They're just a very tolerant community. And so there seems to be a larger incidence of bisexuality just because they're always open to a new experience.
Mm-hmm. I'd imagine most people in these categories, genres, whatever we'd like to call them, you know, it's kind of like that, what we were saying before, that, you know, you can't really rule out if something existed if it didn't, because you want to be open-minded and you believe what you believe yourself. So They're, exactly. I think people like us are far more open to trying something even when we're not interested. I've known so many straight people throughout my existence that gave it a shot going the other way just because they were so open-minded that they couldn't possibly turn it down. It would have been an affront to their nature if they said, you know, no, they're straight. They're sticking with what they know. They can't do that.
Right.
Which is awesome.
Right.
So
I'm also going to, with your permission, I'm going to post a link in chat to that survey that I was talking about. If anyone wants to look at all the data, there's quite a lot of information there.
You have my permission. Thank you for asking.
Anytime. It's your chat room.
I feel so much like a Phoenix Dom. Which isn't it funny? Because I used to be a Dom in Phoenix, and they think oh my god.
That's so, great.
Do I call you mistress or master?
That would be mistress.
Okay.
At the time, it was mistress, and it still is. Still is.
Thank you, Mr. Steve.
So, when did you find out that you were gay?
Gay came to me a whole lot earlier than furry did. Gay hit me in seventh grade. I was going through middle school, and I was over at my, at the time, best friend's place, who, ironically enough, went by the name Silver Phoenix online, who, to my knowledge, has not decided he's a furry, by the way, just for the record. Mm-hmm. So I was over at his place, and he came out to me as gay on some random Saturday, and I didn't quite know how to accept that, because I was still at, you know, that age. In those days, that was the age when you started thinking about sex. Now that's progressed earlier and earlier.
That's true. That was the time I was thinking about sex, and I found everyone else in the locker room had no interest. But
oh, God, I thought about sex since I was a baby.
So, you know, a week passed, and I came back over the following Saturday, and I said, you know what? I think I am too. And that's it's kind of anticlimactic, but that's how it started.
That's kind of good, because most of those best friendships, that's how they end, is that one is and one isn't. But then, we both are.
Now, don't get me wrong. We're not really friends anymore, but that was over completely unrelated reasons.
Right.
You know, and
did it help to have that?
It did. You know, the other natural assumption that people are going to make is that then there was some sort of interaction between us on a sexual level.
I was trying
level.
Not really, to ask, but...
but there really wasn't.
Wow.
You know, short of a little rubbing here and there, that's about it. I actually, I'll be completely honest with you, I didn't lose my virginity until I was 21. I was a good boy.
Very.
And, as I've warned people in the past, just so you're aware, I am an open book. You be prepared. You will get an answer to any question you ask, and even a couple extra. Anyway.
I'm always glad for a little something extra. Absolutely.
So it was helpful to have someone else that I knew was my age and in the same boat. But that being said, being gay didn't really affect me all through middle school or high school. I knew what I wanted. People always say, "Well, how did you know that you were gay?" And I said, well, as soon as I knew that I wanted anything, I knew what it was I wanted.
Oh, I like that.
You know what I mean? I never had that period of questioning, you know, do I want to try being with a woman or,
right.
You know, or I never had that. I never had that interest in people, you know, will say, well, you know, have you ever been with a woman? Have you ever tried it? You might like it. And I said, no, I don't think I would. Thanks for offering, though.
Did it take you until you were sexually interested, like in seventh grade, to realize that that was the case? I mean, you didn't kind of, you know, like, I don't know, because that's hard to define for me, because I was always very sexually aware, even from, like, age five. So I can't say that, because I knew that I was gay from birth, but maybe that's because I was more sexually aware from that time. And others just didn't, because like when we had Brett Gleason on, that's the same kind of answer we got from him, was he didn't really realize until he was sexually aware.
Well, I wonder, and allow me to psychoanalyze here, if your earlier perception of your homosexuality had to do with your earlier perception of your gender identity issues.
It could have, because that was what came first. I was born a girl, and... What's with this penis thing going on, you know? And then it went from there. So it could have been that I was a girl wanting to be interested in boys at the time.
Right. So, you know, yeah, but again, it, you know, I didn't have any awareness of any interest whatsoever on my part in sex until I was interested in sex.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it would make sense.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to lie. I did have in like fourth or fifth grade, I was fighting with my, at that time, best friend over a girl. But I was in fourth and fifth grade, and I think it was just because it was a rivalry, and it was a rivalry for the sake of a rivalry.
Right.
And she just happened to be in the middle of it, you know. But I don't, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if she turned out to be a lesbian, just for the record. Right. But I'm just saying. But so yeah, I don't think I ever had any inkling of what was going on until it mattered to me.
And what did, but, were you living then an out life? Did you come out at that time, at any time during school?
No.
I didn't
get to that until, actually, just before I graduated. Actually, no, just after I graduated high school. Hmm. Because, again, I didn't have, I was nerd supreme at that time.
Right.
You know, I was a guy that, you know, I would rather take my study hall and go to the planetarium and hang out with the director of the planetarium and do things in there rather than hang out in study hall and chat with my friends and hit on guys or girls or whoever. Okay. I'd much rather be in just this one room engaging my mind rather than my hormones.
So all
that didn't really affect me through high school because while I knew what I wanted, I didn't want it badly enough to do anything about it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I wouldn't have turned it down if it came to me on silver platter, don't get me wrong. But I was also, and I know you're headed towards religion at some point or another, I was brought up in under the, you know, the belief system that you wait until, at the very least, you know, I knew marriage wasn't an issue for me at that point, but at least until I'm in a committed relationship to do anything.
Oh, my.
You know. And that's why I waited until I was 21, actually.
Was this a small town? Is this where you are now? Was this a different area that you grew up in?
I've lived all my life now in town, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So we're not talking, you know, tiny town. No. It's actually the third largest city in Pennsylvania.
That explains the Allentown.
Oh, she didn't even know. I thought that's why. Oh,
no,
I didn't. Yes, that's why the
you
Allentown.
You
kind of
gave me a clue.
I thought you knew, honey.
Oh, my. The only one I know for sure where he's from is Mr. Cotolo.
Yes.
Because I know if I ever need him, I can just, Hollywood, here I come. Yes. Meet me at the casino.
Yeah, you're all like a little Pennsylvania contingent network over there between you and Skylar and Frank and now Doc.
And Sam. I mean, you like left
Sam.
All of us. Sammy. And Sammy from?
Like Sam, Sunrise and Sammy, you mean?
D? You got quiet.
I don't know who we're talking about.
Sammy.
I don't know.
On Facebook.
I have no idea.
God.
I have no idea.
You know who I'm talking about.
I don't know.
We had her on the show one time.
Samantha Renee?
No.
I believe so.
She's from Virginia.
I thought she's from Pennsylvania.
No, she's from Virginia.
That's
close enough.
But thank you, Sky, for studying our cast list and reminding me because I wouldn't remember. No, I do remember. I certainly know Sammy, but yeah, she's from Virginia.
I just know her name on Facebook, and I don't want to put like that out there because you know.
Oh, I don't know. We'll have to discuss after to see which one we're talking about. But
yeah,
I've been doing so much listening to the Fabulous D Show. You have no idea.
This is good.
Every night at work during my break, I listen. I get an hour break, and I listen to at least half of an episode.
Isn't it wonderful?
It is. It's a great way to spend a break.
Oh.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. That's what we're doing it for. So
you listen to Tone Easy, too?
Plenty. I'm sure he listens to Tone Easy a lot.
Yeah,
I have to look at Tone Easy a lot. I'm just saying.
I did create something quite cute, huh?
Yes, you really did. I know we're doing it, if I'm not mistaken.
They say ugly people make cute babies, so.
Oh, my God.
Well, this must be the exception to the rule.
It is the exception to the rule, exactly.
Well, no, not really. It's just his daddy had enough ugly.
Oh, his father's ugly, not his mother. There you go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. His daddy was doubly ugly.
You like that suave I had there, right?
Exactly. So you've lived in Allentown your whole life, but I've seen some cities, and I know now that Allentown, to me, would be a small town or a small city.
That's true. But, I will grant you that.
And I'm like, even compared, it's, did you say it's one of the biggest in Pennsylvania?
It's third biggest.
The third most populous city in Pennsylvania.
So with the others are Pittsburgh and
Philly.
Harrisburg? Or no?
No, Philly and Pittsburgh, in that order.
Philly and Pittsburgh.
We're actually larger than the state capital.
You're larger than Harrisburg. Wow.
Even I knew that, D.C., and I didn't even... Philly, Pittsburgh, and...
Fascinating.
Allentown. Yeah, Harrisburg's not that big.
So did you find the town life, the small city town life of Allentown, that was acceptable? Was it... Because, I mean, it's the first place I gravitated toward when I could get out as gay and go somewhere. That's where I wanted to go. Did you find it acceptable?
When I was growing up, when I was, starting to, when I got out of high school, when I was going through college, and shortly after I got out of college, it was fine for me. Because I'm still a bit of a homebody. I've lived here my whole life. I don't really have any intention of moving too far away from here.
Right.
Because all my family, all my friends are here, I don't really want to move. But I do feel the limitations now of, a lot of the stuff that I want to do, I'm going to have to travel at least an hour or so away to get to anything of real value.
I was just going to say, you're only an hour away from New York. Like, you're right there. You're in the middle of everything.
And Philly and Jersey Shore. And this is a beautiful thing about Allentown. It's close enough to enough major cities that you can live here and still not be completely secluded from everything else.
Right. That's what I liked about it. It was that balance between small and big for me.
Right. And you need that balance sometimes.
Sometimes. Now you...
Sometimes.
Sometimes not...
Nice, but.
Yeah, sometimes not anymore, but... And yes.
I do, right?
Tone's new single, Sometimes.
Yeah.
Wonderful song. Available at langpiff.com.
Does that even exist anymore?
I don't know, does it?
I don't think it does.
Oh, crap.
Oh, shit.
SoundCloud, Tone Easy. I don't know. Yeah.
Just go to SoundCloud. But now, you mentioned your family, and on Facebook, as Skylar, I see that you've got a mother listed, and you seem to be very out. Like, I don't see a level of a hidden veil between what some of us would call the real us or the boring us. Or maybe the boring us and the real us. So, are you open to your family about everything?
I'm open about most things. There's still, let's put it this way. And I'm not going to give my real name because I don't want to embarrass my mother here.
Right.
But and I apologize, Doc, because you know my mother. I'm so sorry you need to hear this. But when I was still living at home, my mother is now, she was born in 55, so she's 57 now, I think.
I think she's
something like that.
That's like my mother's age. That's interesting.
And mine too.
So she was, 60, 50, 50 something. Anyway, not the point. So she was starting to go through the change. She was starting to go through menopause.
Right.
And she still occasionally tries to be intimate with my father. Okay.
And will she be listening to this show?
I hope not. with all due respect, I hope not. And so there was, I guess, and being a gay male, I have no actual knowledge of this, but apparently there's an issue of drying up when one gets old.
That there is, yes.
Okay. And we had this, 5-minute conversation on what my best suggestion for the best type of lube is.
So what do you suggest?
Okay. My personal preference is wet platinum.
Okay, I'll have to write that down.
That's pretty good, yes.
Although, if you like something a little more interesting, I'm going to do a pimp for a furry company, Bad Dragon. Who does all sorts of interesting sex toys?
Bad Dragon. Sorry, yes. go on.
He's taking notes. Just keep talking.
Does a lube that is supposedly dragon cum like?
Oh, ooh. God.
Did you help in the production of that?
No.
That's fascinating that one would, I don't know, I'm taken aback.
If there's no proof of dragons, how exactly. does one know?
I can honestly say I have never in my life until this very moment thought about dragon cum.
Now you'll be able to stop.
You are bringing more things to the people's minds than has ever been brought before, and that's good.
Oh, eat dragon babies.
Dragon babies.
I bet they're filled with protein.
So the... I'm sure they are. So what you're telling us, Sky, is that you're very open with your mother.
I am. We have, when it comes to sex, we have almost no secrets. Although she doesn't necessarily want to hear it. If she asks, I'll tell her.
And your father, you mentioned a father, so you do have both mother-father. How is that relationship with the father?
The relationship is wonderful, actually. When I first came out to my mom, when I was heading out to Hayward, California. I don't know if you're familiar. Mm-hmm. It's in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yes.
And I was going out to meet a friend online. That was like the one that was there to pick me up when I broke up with my first boyfriend. And so I went out with all these, you know, high hopes of starting a relationship, and that wasn't meant to be, but that's another story for another time.
Yes.
But I had to explain why I was going out there. And so my mom and I went to the travel agency to book the plane flight and everything else. And we went to the diner afterwards, and we started talking about why I was going, and I had to tell her, you know, well, this person is wonderful. He was there when I broke up with my boyfriend. And it just is one of those. But she it wasn't judgment. She went into protective mom mode.
Right.
And she wasn't so much worried about, you know, she wasn't worried about my soul or me going to hell or anything like that, right. Or what people would think, so much as she was worried about disease and she was worried about my safety and everything else, which...
Understandable.
Right.
You know, it was protective mom in hyperdrive, but it was still protective mom.
Right.
Which is okay. And it took a little while, but, you know, that became kind of a normal thing. But at her suggestion, and it was a wise suggestion... I needed to hold off on telling Dad just yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dad was a few months later. We were at Pulpit Rock, that astronomical park I was telling you about earlier. Mm-hmm. And we were there for an all-night event with one of the local astronomical societies. And at about 3-something in the morning, we said, you know what, let's just go home. I don't feel like staying overnight. So we're coming down... the road up to Pulpit Rock, which is a dirt and gravel road on the edge of a sheer cliff.
Oh, lovely.
A great place to come out to your father.
At 3:30 in the morning, and he's driving his SUV, which is a little bit too wide for the road.
Right.
And
so he had the perfect opportunity to kill you both, but he didn't. Go ahead.
Exactly. And I don't know why I felt the need to say that just then, other than maybe I just couldn't not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right, absolutely.
And that was the most quiet drive home I've ever had in my life. But now, I mean, when we get invitations for birthday parties, it's addressed to Sky and Bolo.
Right.
Almost said the wrong thing there. You know, on Facebook, my mom has Bolo listed as her son.
Right.
You know, it's just... Everything is completely wonderful with my family and Bolo. And so it's the way it is. I actually came home from the lawyer's office the other day with my mom because they realize they're getting a little up there in age, so they wanted to actually set up the power of attorney, right. Last will and testament, living will, all that stuff, just in case. Not that they expect anything's going to happen, but just in case. And on the way home... you know, first of all, they actually, on power of attorney for my mom, my dad is listed as first power of attorney. If he can't do it, then it's me. If I can't do it, then Bolo is actually power of attorney. Sweet. And that's the case for both of my parents. Nice. So if that tells you anything about the relationship.
Absolutely. And I would ask this, but I don't even want to really ask this now because I know the answer. Because most would probably say, you know, what do they think about you being a furry? But I'm sure you've explained it to them. And as you've explained it, they probably have no problem.
It sounds strange, but coming out as furry and coming out as otterkin is much harder than coming out as gay in some ways. Just because there's so much negative press out there that one has to overcome.
Right. Well, not only that, there's a lot of people who haven't even heard of it, especially the older set.
I'm better with the ones who haven't heard of it. Because you don't have to fight against preconceived notions.
True.
Right.
I mean, they're aware that Bolo and I went to Anthrocon last week. They have some knowledge. They know that Bolo dresses up as a fox and that I have wings and a tail. And they're okay with that. I don't know that I've actually come out of the otherkin closet with them.
Right.
Okay. That one I haven't broached yet because that's verging into the territory of religion, which is a little more difficult.
I was just thinking about that how a religious person would feel. But yet you are a religious person, as we've heard, or as we see. Are you a religious person?
I am, with a qualifier. First of all, I definitely consider myself to be a spiritual person. You can't be otherkin without being spiritual, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
As far as religion is concerned, I'm religious in as much as I do attend church services and church functions regularly. However, if I'm being completely honest, while I've been brought up and born and bred and raised in the Lutheran Church, mm-hmm. I actually consider myself more of an agnostic.
We were just having this discussion before.
before we came in the air, yes.
And you know, everyone has this misconception that agnostics think that there's no God, and that's not the case. That's an atheist.
Correct.
Right.
An agnostic is someone who doesn't know, and I come to call myself an agnostic because my scientific side wants proof.
Right.
I want to see some conclusive proof that proves to me that there is something bigger out there. And I'm not willing to rule it out, but I'm also not willing to say yes, it exists.
So being an agnostic scientist, why are you going to church?
Bolo asks me this question now and again. I go to church because, and I really should expand my horizons a bit, but a good scientist, when they don't have an answer to a question, never stops collecting data.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the only way to try to come to some sort of conclusion is to keep finding out more. And so I've tried to educate myself in Islam, in Hindu, in Buddhism, in paganism, in Satanism, in Christianity, in Judaism, in everything, as much as I possibly can, to give myself more stuff to work from and try to come to a conclusion on.
Okay.
And, you know, the other part of the reason I continue to go to the church that I do is that my family actually helped build the physical building of the church and was instrumental in the founding of that church. So it's almost an expected thing that I be involved and that I be – and it's also a pride thing, honestly, because my family has had such a hand in that church, I want to see part of my family's creation succeed and thrive and be a viable place of worship for people that feel that that is the right way.
Well, that's certainly an honorable response. Absolutely. And I can understand, looking into the church, into the specific church that it is, and the Lutheran religion, is less, they're more convincing in the fact that, you know, come to be part of something, to be part of the family, for mm-hmm. the support level, and not like the Catholic, you know, who will be flogging you and you believe in God and give us all your money and Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, they're far more you know, the friendly pastor and the friendly congregation, and they're the ones that are a bit more accepting of alternative ways because they just love you, you know, the things that religion was supposed to be about.
Right, and that while that's certainly true for the Lutherans, I think the ones that do that even better, in my opinion, are the UCCs, the United Church of Christ. They are wonderful. I mean, they did a whole ad campaign based on, if you're gay, you're welcome in our church.
Right.
Nice.
You know, whereas, you know, the Lutheran Church, while it now does actually have in its constitution and whatever that, you know, they are allowing gay marriages, they're allowing gay clergy, but it's not as out there. And it's actually been a very divisive issue in the Lutheran Church. There have been a number of churches that have broken away from the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, because the ELCA is now accepting gays. They say, oh, no, we don't want that. We're going to go off and do our own thing.
That's so hypocritical.
It is.
I don't get it.
And
that's what I don't get about religion.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, and seeing that church, actually, and this is a side story that we can discuss later, but I can throw it out there for that intrigue of the listeners. But I saw it, and I thought, oh, my God, because it's another parallel of us, as I had been in and around that church quite a bit.
Like my actual church?
Like your actual church. Back in the day, spent quite a bit of time there.
Are you serious?
Yes, absolutely. I totally recognized it. I saw the picture. I'm like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, then I have to ask. First of all, I know I don't ask a lady's age, but are we approximately the same age?
We are approximately the same age, yes.
You weren't by chance in scouting, were you?
No. Okay, I was so there on work purposes. Work at the time.
So, now I'm intensely curious.
I know, isn't it?
Okay, well then if you think back to those days, do you remember, and this, how many years ago was this, would you say?
A few.
Ten or so?
Possibly more.
More than 10.
Do you recall ridiculously tall pine tree on the corner across the street?
Probably. I don't know. Not specifically, but I mean, you're talking about a tree in Pennsylvania.
Oh, fair.
Sir, it didn't happen.
Okay, fine. But that property right across the street is my parents' home.
Interesting.
So yeah. You were literally within spitting distance of me.
Right. And this is just, yes, for everyone listening, this is just the parallels of, this is how things happen. This is the flow of the universe.
This is how small the world actually
is. I could have seen you.
Like, you probably did.
12 years ago. And we had no idea that these roads would have gone and, yes, come back around. And quickly, you are happily partnered.
I am.
To your lovely co-host at Hotspot Radio.
Yes, Bolo Cute Fox.
And the only question I have about that, because you are happily, happily together, and you seem to be very intertwined, you live together, and all that, you know, you're actual partners.
Right, we'll be actually celebrating our 5th anniversary in July.
Wow.
Oh, congrats.
And yet I read that you have an open relationship.
We do.
Which means... what?
It means that... for everyone, it kind of means something a little bit different.
Right.
But for us, that means that if we have an interest and an opportunity to be intimate, shall we say, mm-hmm. with someone other than each other, we have that freedom to do so as long as we're open and honest about it with each other.
Hmm.
And this bodes well with both of you.
It does. It actually came out of two almost very opposite reasons. As you can probably gather from what I was saying before, when Bolo and I got together, I was very inexperienced when it came to things of a sexual nature. Mm-hmm. I had had one long-term boyfriend prior to him that he and I were together for about 5.5 years, and that was my only partner, and he was a very possessive partner, and he was very jealous in a lot of ways, where I couldn't even look at somebody else, and I would get a dirty look from him. So there was that, and so I didn't have a lot of experience. And then on the other hand, Bolo coming into our relationship, and I don't mean anything ill about Bolo when I say this, but he was more experienced.
Right.
He was significantly more experienced. He also started at the age of 13. So if that gives you any idea.
So he had been studying for quite some time.
He had. He had been studying for quite a long time. So on one hand, I didn't want to restrict his ability to, to continue doing what he had become so used to. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I didn't want to be in a relationship again and have almost zero actual real experiences with a multiple number of partners and then have to wonder what else was out there that I wasn't able to get.
Right.
And so the agreement that we both kind of came to is what I just said, that, you know, as long as we tell each other what's going on, we'll give each other that freedom. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, you know, open relationships, I've found, are a lot less prone to jealousy, a lot less prone to cheating. Because, mm-hmm. first of all, you eliminate that possibility of cheating because you're being honest with each other and you're allowing each other to do it. But then the other question people always ask me is, well, how often do you do that? And I say, very, very rarely, actually. Mm. The authority and the ability to do so almost takes away some of the desire to act on it.
The fact that the option is there.
Exactly.
That makes perfect sense, though.
And as much as I hate to say it, because I am a possessive phoenix, but it is true that we're not meant to be with that one person forever.
Right.
I mean, they can be in our lives forever, but as far as sexually, it certainly makes logical sense to me in my scientific mind, even though it grates on my possessive nature greatly. Mm-hmm. But it does make more sense, and you would be more happy with someone if you could do what you wanted.
Right.
Than be, you know, tied down for 50 years. That just doesn't work for most people.
Exactly.
It took me a long time to learn that, but it is true. It's very, very true.
And there's no twinge of jealousy there when you know, when you talk about these things that he was with someone,
really,
you were
no.
with someone?
No, I mean, we had, I was working at a grocery store a few years back, and I had to work at like 7 in the morning on the self-checkout, which was the bane of my existence. And we had a friend over, and it was about 1 or something in the morning. He said, I really need to go to bed. And I knew they were going to be doing something. I said, okay, I'm going to bed. Keep it to a dull roar. I need to sleep. So I went to bed. They did their thing in the living room, and I woke up, and I was fine.
Fascinating.
You know.
Nice.
We also have veto power, by the way. So, you know, if there's someone that we don't want each other to be with, we have that authority to say that.
I think that's fair.
Like, one of the ones that I'm not comfortable with is one of Bolo's exes, and not because he's Bolo's ex so much as I just don't like the guy, to be honest with you. He's a very, you know, well, interestingly enough, Bolo's ex is now dating my ex.
Oh, weird.
Perfect.
Yeah. That's a little strange. But he's just a very clingy sort of personality that I think if he would do that sort of thing on the regular with Bolo, it would become expected and he'd get the wrong impression of what was going on and blah, 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 blah.
Which has been the thing that I've noticed is that's the problem with open relationships is the finding that other partner who's not going to then infringe upon your partnership. It's got to you know, keep it on that level that it's supposed to be instead of finding this clingy person who then stalks you for the next 3 weeks.
Right. You know, people have to understand sex is sex and love is love and they're not necessarily related to one another in all cases.
That's true.
Fascinating.
You know.
Sucks more people don't understand that.
It does. It does. Because it would be a much nicer world if they did.
And it does take a lot of overcoming that natural obsession of being obsessed with someone.
I always tell my boyfriend that would not, you know, I'm don't want him to cheat, but it wouldn't be a deal breaker. And I'd rather, you know, if it happened, him tell me. But what it comes down to and the grand scheme of it is, you know, at night when he comes home, it's me that I want him to come home to, you know?
Right. I mean, one of the biggest arguments I ever had with my ex was that, I don't know how it came up in conversation, but I basically said to him, you know, if so-and-so big celebrity, and I'm going to say the name and Doc's going to know who I'm talking about, nobody else will, but if Jeff Hardy comes up to me and says, I want to screw your brains out, I don't think I could say no. Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about a wrestler?
Yes, he is.
I am.
We all know what he's talking about.
Really? You guys are wrestling fans?
Oh, no, but we know we're from Pennsylvania. We know what you're talking about.
Fair enough. But – and my ex turned this into, like, a big, like, 4-day fight. And wow. Whereas Bolo and I will, you know, we'll be watching TV and say, oh, he's hot. And, you know, oh, I'd fuck him in a heartbeat. And that's as far as it goes. Because
every couple should have a celebrity exception.
Celebrities should be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We went through that at first, too. And I was like, you know, if Angelina Jolie was in front of your face and offering you her pussy, I would be disgusted with you if you turned it down. You know, like,
seriously.
Come on, man up. Like, that's Angelina Jolie. Stick it in her. I want to watch. You know? Where's the video camera?
Very nice. Very nice.
Exactly.
But so, that's just me.
Since we're coming around to the end here, and we've got many more important things to discuss, I think the most important is that you are host of the fabulous Hotspot Radio.
I am.
That's hotspotradio.net.
Radio.
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 Just gotta relax the tongue and go with it.
Radio.
So, it's on SRN1. You do that very well, by the way.
Almost like, sounded like Beavis. Radio.
Radio.
I great cornholio.
Yeah, we're on SRN1, 148.ca, every week, Wednesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And that's, of course, 6:30 Pacific and 2 in the morning, I think. 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, Doc
in the
said
UK.
2:30, yeah. Mm-hmm. And how did this start?
This actually started about 6 years ago, a little over six years ago. I was... at the time, very, very good friends with a group of folks that are going to remain nameless just for the sake of professionalism, that were all involved in doing internet radio. Mm. And I said, oh, I want to do that. And but I wanted to wait until I got high-speed internet because trying to do radio on dial-up
doesn't work. I can't imagine, yeah.
You know, so... RCN, for those of you in the Pennsylvania and Chicago, whatever areas, were being completely idiotic at the time and taking their grand old time doing everything to get – I mean, I would call up every 2 weeks or so and say, hey, where are we getting high speed? When are we getting high speed? When are we getting high speed? And
the good old days when they used to say, yes, we're installing those lines eventually.
Exactly.
Sometime in the next decade.
Exactly. My first appearance was actually on April 1st of 06, but it wasn't on Hotspot Radio. I was on a different show, and we were actually broadcasting a blow-by-blow recap of WrestleMania that year, and so, 'cause that was one of our shared interests. I was out visiting a friend in Minnesota, and we were doing that. So I was part of his first broadcast, but that gave me the bug more than anything else. I started appearing on another show on a regular basis. And then finally I got my own high speed. And so October 6th of 06 was my very first episode. It was going to be the 13th, but my friend announced me for this coming Wednesday rather than the following Wednesday and said, oh, shit, okay. So I threw together the show and went with it. And we've kind of been going ever since. It's been a slow progression. We've now since broken away from the network that we had been a part of. Mm-hmm. And over basically creative differences is what it boiled down to. And I'm sure you can relate to that.
Yes.
Mm. And
creative people always have differences. What's with that?
And so last August, September, something like that. I think it was August. I phoned up the folks at SRN1, who I had actually been talking with regarding syndication at the time. And I said, I don't need to syndicate anymore, but I actually need a home. And they said, oh, we'd love to have you. So I've been with SRN1 ever since. Purchased my own domain name for the website. I've been doing all sorts of wonderful web design with it, in which, you know, in my humble opinion, came out pretty darn nice. And I've been making all sorts of wonderful contacts with folks like the Artist D, with Frank Cotolo, with Brett Gleason, Cassidy Haley.
You certainly have had a whole bunch of people, fabulous people, on.
And you know, the numbers keep increasing in terms of who I'm getting on, and you know, there are some big things coming up in the fairly near future.
We should probably say, it's time for your big announcement. You have waited for this very night. on Fabulous D Show.
I want to do one announcement before that.
Okay. Give us the announcements.
I don't want to slight you on this either, because this coming Wednesday is Four Culture Night on Hotspot Radio.
It is. And as we were talking about before, when we started, Four Culture is coming out this Tuesday, which is going
right.
to kick your socks off, let me tell you.
At fourculture.com.
Exactly.
And I'm a shameless shill. I hope you realize this.
Oh, it's all right.
And so Wednesday night is going to be our launch party for Four Culture.
Right. So I'm going to have on Paula.
We're
going to
have on the artist
there.
D. We're going to have on new song, Paula.
Paula, my managing editor.
And if we give her enough martinis, we might get Anne-Marie on there, too.
No, Anne-Marie's going to come. She's going to give it her best shot to come.
Yay! Yes. Yay!
And we'll be doing some, you know, I think we're going to try to focus on unsigned artists and the artists that are appearing in this episode of Four Culture and
absolutely.
Everything. So that's going to be a blast
it
to have
will.
You back on the
so
show
yes,
again.
So, yes, tune in this Wednesday at 9:30 on hotspotradio.net.
Right. Now, for the big announcement.
Big announcement.
And this,
trumpets,
this actually,
please. Yes.
It actually ties into the convention that I just went to, which was Anthrocon.
Okay.
Anthrocon is the world's largest furry convention. Mm-hmm. It takes place every year in Pittsburgh in mid to late June. And this year had an attendance of over 5,000 with over 1,000 fursuiters.
Wonderful.
And I attended a panel at Anthrocon this year. It was called Furries in the Media. Because I knew I was coming on this show and I wanted to make sure that I had any advice that they were willing to offer on how to present furry to non-furries, which is basically what the thing was all about.
Fantastic.
And I've taken some of the advice and ignored some of it because, right. you know, they do suggest not broaching the sexual topics too much if you don't have to and blah, blah, blah. I'm not afraid of it.
But we had to, so.
Yeah, of course. You're not going to come to the Fabulous D Show and not bring up the sexual stuff.
We don't not discuss the elephants.
Exactly.
Another
so,
form of furry. But go on.
One of the there you go. One of the people in charge of that panel was Uncle Kage, known as real name is Dr. Samuel Conway, and he is the guy that is the PhD in chemistry. Mm-hmm. He is the chairman of Anthrocon. He's the guy in charge. And after the panel was over, he was waiting for a phone call just outside of the room the panel was in, and I said, hey, just so you know, I'm a member of the media and I'm a furry, and I was wondering. And what the conversation boiled down to was sometime in the next year, hopefully in the next couple months, Uncle Kage, the chairman of Anthrocon, will be a special guest on Hotspot Radio.
Wow.
Nice.
Very good.
Congratulations.
Fantastic. I went back to the hotel room and I was bouncing uncontrollably.
Aw, like Tigger?
Like Tigger.
yes, like Tigger. Let's go with that.
His top's made out of rubbers.
And bottom's made out of springs.
Oh yes, my. He's bouncy, trouncy, pouncy, flouncy from
that's
what I hear.
Fantastic news. We can't wait to hear that, as you can't wait to do that, I'm sure.
Absolutely. It's almost as big as having the artist D on my show.
Wow. Almost.
Almost. Nothing will be as big as having the artist D on your show.
Thank you all.
Agreed.
So on that,
except note, for maybe Tone Easy. Well, close second there.
That's pretty big.
I don't want him on the radio show. I want right.
And on that note.
Poor Tone.
Yes. On that note, though, it is right at the end of the show. We have gone till we can go no longer.
Already?
Sorry.
I'm sorry it's over, but yes, I had so much more to discuss. So we'll have to have you back eventually.
I would be firmly in favor of that.
Fantastic. So we thank you, Skylar Hall, host of HotspotRadio.net, and furry, and fellow everything, fellow fabulousness.
Yes, thank you, Skylar. It was nice to finally meet you.
Thank you, Dee. Thank you, BC. Yet. Thank you for having me.
And we will have everyone tune in this Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. EST on HotspotRadio.net to hear more of me and more of Skylar and all of my other fabulous Four Culture people.
Yay.
So thank you, Skylar. We'll say goodnight to you now.
Good night
to you. Skylar.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Yes, absolutely. Time to go. It is the Fabulous D Show. The show for anyone with a brain in the head. Next week, we've got the fabulous Miss D from RainbowMixRadio.com. She's discussing her adventures in transitioning. D is a post-op transgendered male to female, so we've got a lot to talk about with her. Thank you, Vanilla Child.
Thank you, D.
As always, everyone can get us at TheArtistD.com, downloadable, iPodable, forever until forbid. Do you have your guns, graffiti, and your gender? I certainly hope so. It's the Fabulous D for June 24th, 2012. I am the Artist D. This is it. Good night.